Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 129, recorded on June 28th, 2011. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iPhone, iPod, Touch, App Store, iPad, other things.
Apple TV,
iOS, fun stuff. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Mr. Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good.
Jeff Gamet's also here from the Mac Observer.
Yep, and since Adam just asked, I know you're doing good, so I don't need to ask.
How are you doing?
I'm doing dang fine.
Awesome. All right, so
I've got that new Mac smell.
Ooh, you want to tell everybody a little bit about it, because people listening to the show don't really know.
My jacked up MacBook Pro that I've suffered with for 3 years. Yeah,
you have a new Mac.
That's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have one of the, I always forget which model it is, like late 2008, I believe, is what Apple refers to it as. It came out October 2008. It was the last one, 15-inch MacBook Pro with the removable battery in the Express 34 card slot.
Right, so it's unibody, removable battery.
Yeah. So ever since I had it, I would have either video issues, there was always some issue. And so I took it in, they replaced the logic board. Second time I got it back, it started having video issues again a few months later. And then worse for the podcasting session stuff was that my FireWire bus, or just the bus in general, FireWire USB bus, would just randomly die at certain points. It would like go away and then kind of come back. And you could almost always trigger it by unplugging or plugging in a USB device. You would do that and it would kill the whole bus. And so it would be like, you didn't safely eject your hard drive. And I'm going, well, no. I didn't mean to eject the hard drive. You just did it for me. Thank you very much. So I had been putting off, because it was intermittent enough where it didn't bother me and I was kind of suffering through it, but I'm getting toward the end of my Apple Care. So I was like, I better get this in before Apple Care runs out, because I had bought that and I was coming up on my 3 years. And so I took it in. They looked at it. They go, yep, you need a new logic board. It's going to be 7 to 10 days, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. And I dropped it off at the Genius Bar. I got home and I get a phone call and they go, you know, we went back and reviewed your case and we see this has been in X number of times. And so I think what really happens behind the scenes is the underling at the Genius Bar goes in and he can't really do anything, but he goes back and, you know, talks to somebody higher up and that person goes, yeah, just replace it. So he called me back and he says, you know, what we'd like to do is, if you don't mind, is just give you a new one. And I said, oh, I totally mind that. Please fix the old busted one. No, I didn't say that. I said, oh, really? Oh, that would be very nice. Thank you very much. But he did point out that the clock speed on the new one, which, by the way, is like the brand new one, 15-inch Thunderbolt port, SD card slot, Core i7. He did have to point out that the clock speed was actually slower than my current model. For some reason, I don't know. He said,
well, which is kind of funny.
It's going to be a 2.0 gigahertz instead of the 2.4 you had before. And I went, yeah, I really don't think that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. But, you know, for some people, they'd go, wait, what? It's slower? and they think it really is slower.
Yeah,
it really
quad
is.
Core versus dual core versus a bunch of other architecture. Yeah. Yep. I was like, yeah, that'd be fine by me. And then he said, would you like us to transfer your data for you? And I said, sure. So they had it for
nice.
A few more hours. I went and picked it up and plugged it in and away I went. It was pretty actually awesome.
So you just kind of walked out of there with the body of your computer upgraded, but the soul is exactly the same.
Yeah, except this one doesn't die.
That's good.
When I plug in a USB drive. Yeah. So This is a good thing. And awesome. And my audio interface doesn't cut out in the middle of a Skype call.
Yeah, that probably wouldn't be good for what you do.
It really isn't.
The lesson here is buy AppleCare, people. Not only does this stuff apply to Macs, and I have AppleCare on my computer, but get it for your iPhone too, because
This brings up a debate, because I know Jeff, right? You just upped yours because we came on the year anniversary of the iPhone. I don't get AppleCare on my iPhones.
I have never gotten AppleCare on an iPhone, but my iPhone always gets rotated out before AppleCare, or the standard AppleCare would expire anyhow.
That's why I generally don't purchase it.
But this time around, since we hit the 1 year anniversary and I got my iPhone 4 on the first day, I thought, you know, I just better get it this time, because I don't know if I'm getting a new iPhone when the new model comes out. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we have an idea when it's coming out, but don't know exactly when.
Yeah.
So I'll just get AppleCare on it. And if I end up selling my iPhone, I can transfer the AppleCare with it.
Yeah, it also ups your resale value, definitely.
It's a weird quandary, though, because it's what, like $70?
Yeah, $69.
Can you get a discount if you're a student?
Probably would have been worth it. Uh-huh.
Can you get a student discount on that, on AppleCare?
I don't think so.
No, I think you can.
It only adds 1 year on the iOS devices, right? Versus 2 years.
Right. But that should be plenty, because if I don't get a new iPhone this year.
Yeah. I guess my dilemma has been that I have original iPhones that are I'm still using, and they're working fine. I have an iPhone 3GS that just started breaking, has an intermittent issue now. So, you know, my iPhones have held up pretty good, but I'm pretty easy on them, I guess would be the term.
Yeah, I tend to be easy on mine too. I still have a first gen iPhone that works totally fine. And then I have an iPhone 3G actually sitting on my desk right now that still works just fine.
Yeah, my mom has my generally gets my old iPhones. So, and she's very nice with them.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been this debate for me, is do I get it on my iPad or my iPhone? And I know a lot of people ask about it. Now, I'm not sure why. I guess it's just because I never had an issue and I'm going to be swapping them out quickly, like you said, Jeff. But I guess if I was planning on holding on to it for 2 years, then might be worth it.
Sure.
Yep.
Purely from a battery standpoint, would they do the battery, or do they still consider that consumable?
I think they would replace the battery in an iPhone.
You know, Apple has been pretty liberal with the way they're handling batteries and displays. Yeah. And I mean, people are walking in with iPhones just out of AppleCare, and Apple's going, here's a new one.
Yeah.
And I've even heard stories where people are well over a year out of warranty, and Apple has said, yeah, here's a new one.
Well, Dave Hamilton recently had a story on the Mac Geek Gab about his son with his iPod Touch. He broke the screen by accidentally letting an Apple, I think a MacBook charger, drop on the screen.
Whoops.
Yeah. And he went in there and, you know, said, hey, I think that this is, you know, this was clearly caused by an Apple product.
So the moral of that story is,
make sure another Apple product
charger is not compatible with the iPod Touch.
Well, specifically the screen at certain velocities, yeah.
But you can make the argument it was damaged by an Apple product.
Yeah, long story short, he did get it replaced, and I think the lesson from that is that they have ultimate discretion.
Yeah, they really do.
And, well, you know, if you're nice to your...
And again, at a certain level, too, because as my story illustrates, I think the guy kind of... When I dropped it off, I explained, you know, all the times, and we reviewed the case, and I said, yeah, it's been in for logic board this many times. He said, well, we're going to have to do the logic board again. And I said, okay, that's fine. And I think the whole time he was probably thinking, you know, possible replacement, but he kind of had to go get approval before he could say anything, right? He had to go check with somebody else. So,
yeah. Yep.
Yeah. The other thing I'll just point out on the AppleCare too, like in my case, a number of people that asked me about my AppleCare because I'm up in October, I think, is when it comes up. So I'm almost at the end of my 3 years. And they said, you know, is it transferred to the new computer? And it's not, I can't transfer it to this new one, but what I can do is get a prorated refund. He said you can call up AppleCare and get a prorated refund for the unused portion on the old system.
Oh, that's cool.
And then just rebuy AppleCare, which is what I will do for this new one.
Cool.
So,
yeah, I mean, you already have a year of AppleCare in the new one, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, also, pro tip, be real nice to your genius. Be friendly. Be chatty, you know?
Yes.
Don't be a dick to the genius, because he's the one who's going to help you out, he or she.
So. Yeah, exactly.
You know what?
Sorry,
that's
go ahead.
Good life advice.
Yeah.
That
in
is
general,
good
just
life
try
advice.
Not to be a
don't
dick.
Don't be a dick to the person that can help you out.
Bingo.
Yeah, very good. I always say, especially because it's very easy if things are not going your way to lose sight of that tip. And what I always tell people is be persistent but polite.
Also play dumb. If
that makes sense.
Especially if you drop,
if
you drop
see sometimes. Through that, yeah.
If you drop your iPhone,
see through that.
If you drop your iPhone, in, well, I'm good at it, apparently good at doing that because that's basically been my strategy. You know, when I drop my iPhone in the toilet, for example, I don't know what happened.
It just stopped working.
Yeah, I lucked out because it didn't trip the water.
He
sensor.
Turns it over and liquid pours out the headphone jack. Really? This might be the problem.
Yep. All right, so let's...
must have been a really humid day.
It was, yeah. Spent a lot of time in the toilet.
Speaking of dropping...
Yeah! Wait. See, this is why they pay you the big bucks, because you're good at these transitions. So speaking of dropping, Verizon... has announced that they're going to be dropping the unlimited data plans for new iPhone customers starting next month. That is July. And have they announced officially what the new rates will be?
No.
According to Droid Life, they claim that they have details of the new plans for data from Verizon. According to them, and this isn't confirmed, 2 gigabytes will cost you $30 a month. 5 gigs is 50 and 10 gigs is 80. Mm-hmm. And while, that's what Verizon might have AT&T, their current data rates for the iPhone, 200 megs, $15, 2 gigs, 25 and 4 gigs, that also gets you tethering is $45 a month. So, you would get a better deal on data. You can get higher amounts of data, I guess, with Verizon with the 5 and the 10 gig. But right. Tethering is also another $20 a month add-on.
Yeah, and just like AT&T, I think that according to that Droid Life thing rumor, it gives you another two gigs on any of those plans that you just described, just like AT&T.
Gotcha, yeah. And existing Verizon iPhone customers will maintain their unlimited data plan as long as they don't change it. Same deal as with AT&T iPhone users.
Are they going to do the lame thing like AT&T does where you can't get the tethering unless you change your plan?
You know, I didn't hear anything about that, but I'd imagine no.
That one irks me. I'm grandfathered, but since they added tethering after the grandfathering, it's like tethering is only available on the Data Pro and Data Plus plans.
Yeah, don't you want the tethering? Come on.
I want the untethering if it's unlimited. Yes, please.
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, tethering is never unlimited.
Right, that would be bad. Especially with people like me. iCloud.
It is on Virgin.
Unlimited tethering?
through my hacked phone, which I've been using. I've been watching Netflix on that thing and sharing it with a bunch of people. And it's been awesome. $25 a month.
That is awesome.
It's a little slow. I do have to admit, it's not... I don't think I'm getting full, like, 3G speed.
Is it Verizon
like
3G?
It's serviced through Sprint.
Okay.
But I think it's throttled because it's, you know, what do they call that? Mobile virtual network operator thing. You know, it's they run on Sprint's network here in the States. And so I it's just my theory because I know I don't get full 3G speeds, but it's never been a problem for like doing Netflix and stuff like that. Occasionally it gets a little pixelated, but it works.
Cool. So. Let's see here. Engadget has had the chance to check out a new version of Fireman's Real Racing 2 HD, and this new version has the fancy new feature of being able to be displayed on a TV via AirPlay. And the magic part of this is that, you know, you have your iPad in your hand, you get a map on your screen on the iPad, and then on the big screen on the TV, you get the actual game. So you can steer and play the game using your iPad. It's basically like a wireless game controller plus game, obviously, in there that looks very cool.
Does anybody here have this game, Real Racing 2?
I might. I know I have one of them.
Well, because this is... So the difference here is that... Am I wrong in understanding that originally, like, if you had this game before the AirPlay update comes, the whole mirroring thing, that you can hardwire it and get the same kind of effect, but you're wired, right? So this was something that was already built into the game?
Yes.
And so AirPlay just basically replaces that cable with the video out going over AirPlay
to your Apple TV. So you have to have an Apple TV to make that work.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've really enjoyed some of these games, like Chopper 2, for example. I do have Chopper 2, and that's really cool to play on the TV. And that, of course, works with you have to have two iDevices. So you have I hooked up my iPad to the TV, and then used my iPhone to control it on the TV, which again is very neat.
So, like Incident.
Oh yeah, Incident does that same thing. Yeah.
Okay, so the whole thing with being able to wirelessly play games from your iPad through your Apple TV, does this kind of feel like the beginning of Apple's secret move into the console game market? Like maybe they've already built all the hardware and we're using it right now?
I think it's just an unintended like bonus. It doesn't feel to me like it's something that they went after, but they've built the bits and pieces that can be leveraged to do that. I mean, it gets real interesting when you think about the fact that you can use Bluetooth controllers and devices with your iPad or iOS device. So, you know, a lot of people are asking about, well, what about input? And, you know, the devices maybe aren't ideal for that. But yeah, suddenly I was having a conversation with Mike Schramm when I went to the Nerdtacular. I did an interview with him, and this subject kind of came up, this whole gaming thing and the whole thing with, are you guys familiar with OnLive?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which is all streaming, right? And so, and they showed off at E3 an iPad client, and they have like an OnLive game controller that's a Bluetooth game controller, so you could play OnLive on your iOS device, and they're also kind of retooling some things, I think, for touch. But, you know, we talked about Apple TV or iOS devices as gaming systems. And yeah, this brings up a lot of really interesting thoughts and concepts when you start thinking about this. And one of the things that came up was he was talking about, you know, everybody's doing a set-top box, right? So OnLive has a little set-top box that I think they actually send you for free if you buy a game now. They announced that, which is really kind of cool. You get the little set-top box for free. But then you got your Roku and your Apple TV. And he said, you know, I have one guy that I work with that has, I asked him, how many things do you have hooked up to your TV? And he's like, 12. Right? You know, and it's all the wiring and cabling for that. And then you think about this Apple solution, and it's suddenly like, how many things do you have hooked up to your TV? Yeah, one box, and then everything else is no wires, right?
Right, yeah.
Either streaming or on the device, and you're playing it over AirPlay. You know, with Apple, it's no wires. They're trying to get rid of every possible wire that they can. And if they integrate Apple TV into an actual TV set, well, then you really do have potential to have a little game console with no wires.
Yeah. Well, how do you
push a button and it's over there and now it's over here.
What do you think about the rumors there will be the Apple branded television rumor has resurfaced recently. According to Daily Tech, they say that they heard from a previous Apple executive. Yeah, former Apple executive said that Apple is still planning on introducing an Apple-branded TV later this year.
Q, Jeff.
Can I just go on record saying, Jesus Christ, people, let it drop. Also, fake.
Yeah. Thank you. I was worried there for a second.
Yeah, we got to keep that catchphrase going.
Don't worry. I'm sure there will be plenty of opportunities to use that catchphrase going forward, maybe even more in the same podcast.
Yeah. The one edge case that I have for this that I think they could do is at some point the LCD cinema displays are due for an update, and I wouldn't see any reason why not to just put Apple TV technology into the cinema display, especially now given all the AirPlay stuff that you can do.
Now, that seems like the only way that anything like this would happen.
Well, and it fits with here's my theory. It fits with the PC-free thing. So if you wanted to run your whole life on an iPad, but wanted to maybe use a Bluetooth keyboard and a slightly larger screen, you can now mirror your iPad to an AirPlay device like an Apple TV. Why not just have that in the monitor? So now you can sell someone an LCD monitor, no wires. You just have your Bluetooth keyboard and your iPad, and you go, okay, put this over here now.
That would be cool. You can work
on a large screen, and then you can pick up your iPad and take that with you when you're ready to, you know, bolt out the door.
All right. I have another scenario where the TV setup thing or TV product thing would work. And it's not Apple making TVs. It's third-party companies licensing the AirPlay technology, and Apple is doing that. They put it in the TV.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And to me, that makes far more sense than Apple making their own TV.
Although, I feel like Apple would want to maintain the distinction of what the Apple TV offers.
No. I don't think Jeff's... You're saying what they've kind of already announced, which is AirPlay is a standard and it's open. We're gonna license it, basically, which is weird to say open and licensing and the same thing, but
same breath.
But so you're saying just the AirPlay component, not the not anything else,
right? And correct. Then yeah, and so if you do that, and then you can now link your iPad to or iTunes whatever to any television. You've addressed the Apple on the TV thing because now you can stream your content and whatever games or apps you're using, you can push to the television and just work that way. Now Apple gets to control the complete experience except for the size of the television screen.
Right. And that's the one thing that does become a dilemma. If you've been playing around with, you know, sending stuff at different resolutions to different televisions. We've kind of seen some of it. And you do have, you know, you get the letterboxing thing. But I think consumers are kind of used to that in all kinds of different aspects because you have a, you know, widescreen TV and you get 4x3 content and suddenly you got black bars on the sides. I think consumers are just beginning to understand that that's just going to be the way it is for some types of content.
Yeah,
I don't know that anybody gets in much of an uproar beyond just the real tech people.
Yeah. Okay. Here's another thing. If you want to have the total Apple experience controlled by Apple on your television, Apple is already taking care of that. It's called Apple TV.
Right.
So Apple doesn't even have to invest in the display part because you're going to go out and buy whatever you want. All they have to do is sell you an Apple TV.
Right. Yeah.
Now, since I've said all of this, considering my track record, what this means is that come September, Apple's going to release a television.
Well, and again, I think, you know, building it into the display makes sense. It's a much smaller market, and I don't think you make a big use case for it. But I think if you combine what I was talking about with the PC-free concept and then just, you know, students, people go, man, I would have loved to have a, you know, a 27 inch display that had Apple TV integrated for like the dorm room, right? So you have your Mac plugged into that normally, but hey, let's watch some Netflix or let's download some stuff from iTunes and watch it. You don't have to have a whole separate LCD TV set. You just have the one thing. So, and there's no tuner built into it, so you're not getting regular TV. You're constrained to buying stuff off iTunes, which is a win for Apple.
Yeah, good point.
It just seems like a no-brainer. It seems like it'd be so easy. The Apple TV is so small already. To cram that into a cinema display seems like it would be simple enough, not really cost a lot, and be a nice update to that line and offer a lot of benefits to consumers. And if you want to call that an Apple-branded TV, I don't, because it's not, whatever Apple does is not going to have a tuner built into it.
Yeah.
It doesn't, yeah, that doesn't make sense, because you're right. Apple wants to control the experience, and they also want to control the content you're getting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yep. And if they can sell you content, great. If they put a tuner in there, can't sell you as much content.
True that. Well, you know, I don't have cable at my house. I use strictly Apple TV here. And I would say that, you know, it's me and my brother, and we use the heck out of the Apple TV. And so it's not really an issue to not have a tuner in there. At first I thought it might be, but really it's much better to have it that way, I think.
Are you jailbroken?
Apple TV?
Yeah.
No. I don't see any benefit. Is there a benefit? I guess more formats, maybe?
More content, maybe, through on something like...
I've jailbroken and put Xbox Media Center on my Apple TV. Right. I did that once, and it was just the worst experience ever. It was so terrible. I couldn't figure out how to get anything in that thing, and I just hated it. So
Need more video apps to support AirPlay, and life is going to be really nice.
Well, here's the only one you need, Air Video. Boom, done. That's all you need, because Air Video will play anything, you know, because it's using your Mac to convert stuff. I believe VLC, you know, there's
VLC.
Can
you do Hulu yet?
Hulu AirPlay?
Mm-hmm. To the Apple TV at all, in any way, shape, or form?
I don't think so. I know that in iOS 4, I believe, beta 2, they're now allowing, I think all video applications have AirPlay enabled by default, but I'm not sure about Hulu, and I'm not sure about Netflix, because those
aren't using the built-in player.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure. But
it's changing quickly, though. I mean, that's the point, is you are able to get more and more content that's coming over IP and not through your digital cable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who are like you that are cutting the cable cord, and you know, the cable companies are definitely not happy about it. But
well, I'm getting internet through them, so that's cool.
You know, the only reason I have any cable channels at all is because it's actually cheaper for me to have the very basic package to go along with my internet, and my monthly bill goes up by like $12 if I don't have the basic package.
Yeah, so I'm the same way.
Yeah. And honestly, the only thing that I'm using my cable TV connection for is so that I can TiVo the Craig Ferguson show.
That sounds like a good use.
Yeah. And the annoying thing is Comcast kind of jiggers around all of the information for the channels. So you have to have a cable card from them to be able to use your TiVo as more than just a high-end VCR, which is really annoying.
Yeah. All right.
I shake my fist at Comcast today.
Yeah. It's always good to shake your fist at Comcast. They need it. Let's see here. iCloud to auto-resolve sync conflicts. According to John Gruber, he believes that iCloud will no longer prompt you when syncing to resolve a sync conflict. And this is because he believes that Apple will be building in more intelligence into that sync process that will just automatically select which it thinks is right. And if it turns out that it has selected the wrong one, then it remembers the previous options and allows you to, if you go, I'm not sure, probably into the web interface, you'd be able to tweak that. But that seems like a difficult situation because if the sync conflict comes down to an appointment being on one day or another day or 2 hours difference or something like that, and you don't realize it's changed, I think that's a big issue.
You think?
Yeah.
I think he also points out in there, or somebody pointed out the fact that Steve Jobs had said in that keynote that the cloud is the thing.
The truth is in the cloud.
The truth is in the cloud. That's right. So the assumption is that they're always going to assume iCloud is the right. Almost always assume iCloud is the right side of that conversation. And anybody who's dealt with sync conflicts as they exist today with .Mac knows that's not quite always the case.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, maybe what's going on here ultimately with Apple and this giant server farm, maybe it's not so much that they need it for, cloud service processing and storage. Maybe Steve Jobs is doing that thing that they did in Demon, where the computer genius puts his likeness into the computer. And
that's kind of scary. Maybe by the truth, Steve Jobs doing that.
Maybe by the truth is in the cloud. He means his soul will be in the cloud, actually going through each and every one of these sync conflicts and choosing them himself.
Deciding for you.
Knowing how that worked out.
Steve Jobs always knows what you want.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
And knowing how that worked out in Demon, I'm assuming that means if you have a conflict between your Mac, your iPhone, and iPad, the virtual Steve Jobs will look at that and go, oh, hell no, and blow you up.
Yeah, probably with some kind of armored SUV or something.
Which would be quite an impressive way to go.
Yeah, be pretty cool.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd implicitly trust Apple's AI to decide my sync conflicts.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. And, obviously this is a rumor, but...
It would probably be fine if when it did it, it just alerted you and said, look, there was a sync conflict. We took care of it. And then at that point, you could maybe go in and just confirm. But I guess then at that point, it really wouldn't be different than what we already have.
Right, right. And honestly, I don't see that very often anymore. I don't hardly ever get that prompt these days.
Well, and that could be part of Apple's thinking, though, too, is that this happens so infrequently that we really could just resolve these, and for 99.8% of the people, it's going to be fine.
Right. And for the 0.2% where it's completely jacked, that's what's going to be the big headline on CNN. And,
yeah. Yep.
According to Bloomberg, they believe that the next generation iPhone 5 will be launching in September. And it'll have...
You didn't want to talk about the Retina display?
Okay. Yeah, no, you're right. We do want to talk about it. Let's backtrack. We'll get to that one in a second.
Sorry.
This is what happens when I give you my my master notes. These guys know what's going on now. But
that's right. We're running the show now, pal.
And they know all the notes that I put by their names, like this guy. He's on his last... He's got one last stroke before he's out of here.
I'm just confused. Why does it say douche beside my name?
I don't know. Huh. Okay, so there's more evidence for a 2048x1536 iPad Retina display. As we've seen in, I believe, the beta iOS? Is it iOS 5? Yeah. So in iOS 5...
The Twitter assets, right, were discovered to have...
Yes.
Is that the rumor?
Yeah, images inside the Twitter framework. There are some images at a 1536x2048 resolution, which that almost completely confirms it for me. Unless it's very possible that because this is a beta seed, there's the possibility that, yes, Apple has these devices running at these resolutions, but, you know, down the line they may say, well, we don't want to use them for some reason.
And I think that's, you just mentioned the exact point of all of these rumors, is that we know that Apple is always playing around with different designs and prototypes and stuff like that. So at any given moment, for whatever reason, they could just nix that. I think what it proves is that Apple is thinking about a Retina resolution display, and I don't think that anybody should find that surprising.
Like, there you go.
You know, it's like, sometimes it seems like the media just needs something to talk about, right?
Well, yes, and the media loves to sensationalize. And in this case, I'm not saying that the sources for this story are sensationalizing, but in other cases they can be. Like mm-hmm. the whole thing about the Apple patent for the infrared sensor and the cameras, that thing is so sensationalized. And it I'm just backing you up, Adam. I'll go back to drinking.
No worries. But yeah, I mean, we're talking about it too. It's what everybody wants. Whether it'll happen or not is ultimately, you know, down to some decision at the last minute before the product's supposed to come out. And it's going to come down to, can we get the components? Do we have the suppliers that can supply them? Is the quality consistent enough? You know, all the typical factors that Apple's going to use to make that decision. But absolutely, there's no reason not to build assets that might work for it if you're not really sure if you're going to be able to deliver it or not, because at some point they are, right? At some point they're going to make a higher resolution display. Is it going to be September? Maybe.
Yeah, or maybe it's February.
It's going to happen. And that's why we always come back to, if you will it, if you want it long enough and say it enough times, it will eventually become true. Because most of these things, with a few exceptions, like Jeff was pointing out, I mean, there's some stuff out there that's just like, forget it. But even like Apple branded TV, yes, it's always a possibility. Apple could eventually do one. And if you keep saying it long enough, they might.
Yeah. Or at least in a parallel universe.
Exactly.
You know, I remember when I was in high school, there's a bunch of kids that thought that if they leaned out of the car window and made kind of siren sounds, there were sensors in the lights, in the traffic lights, that would change them to green. And I remember sitting there this one night at this intersection watching these guys hang out of their window making these whooping sounds, and eventually the light turned green, and they were certain it was because of what they had done. Yeah, this is the same thing. You know, people are going to sit here and believe what they want. And eventually, if Apple produces what that happened to be by coincidence, they will use that as proof that all of these rumors that they were following and everything they wanted to believe was true.
In my town, it was flashing the lights very quickly, almost like a strobe. That was the theory.
Same
thing. Yeah.
To make it seem
to make the light turn green.
Huh. Is that because there was a sensor that saw that there were, I mean, what was the theory there? That it was the sensor was there to sense when there was a car pulling
up? I think because ambulances and police cars have a little strobey.
Okay, so
they have the flashy light strobey things. And
so it was to trick the light into thinking that you were an emergency vehicle.
Correct.
Cool. Yeah, I'm sure that
And guess what? It didn't work.
No, it did, Jeff.
Yeah. You have to believe
hard
enough.
It would turn green. You just had to get the right rhythm.
Yeah, you'd have to do it long enough.
Okay. See, that was my problem. Yeah. I clearly don't have rhythm.
It didn't work every time because, you know,
you
might be a little scratchy that evening. You're not quite the right tone.
Yeah,
I understand.
All right,
it's an art.
According to Boy Genius Report, they have a source that tells them that while some developers do have what is being referred to as an iPhone 4S, you know, being used to develop new applications using next generation hardware. So it has upgraded guts, as we've discussed before, A5 processor, etc. According to Boy Genius's source, The next generation iPhone will not be an iPhone 4S, but an iPhone 5 with a radical new case design. So these iPhone 4Ss that developers supposedly have, you know, just have the new guts, but they don't have the new case design.
So what you're telling me is that Apple is taking prototypes and giving them out to developers so that they have actual hardware to code for.
Right. But they don't have the new fancy design.
You know, if this is a video podcast, you would see my eyes rolling so far back in my head that my retinas are about to detach.
Are you sure? Because this seems likely to me. This sounds like something that Apple would do.
No, absolutely not.
It might be time to use that catchphrase again.
Okay. Yeah, fakety fake, 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 fake.
Well, I mean, if you look back to when they switched to Intel, they were giving, you know, the Mac Pros with PC hardware inside of them.
Okay, listen closely.
They announced that, though.
Okay, fine.
No.
They told developers they were going to give them reference platform machines so that they could get through the dev store, right?
Yeah, same reason why they're doing it with developers in the iPhone 4S.
Oh. Okay, I think I just hyperextended my eyeball.
That's okay.
No, absolutely not. And I can sum up the whole thing for you in one word. Gizmodo.
Yeah. Oh, my God. If they can't, I mean, if they're going to have a leak come out through an Apple employee. Yeah, they're going to trust all those guys that sign the NDA and then, you know, really keep their mouth shut, right?
Right.
Because we don't know anything about what's in iOS 5.
You know, so Michael, can I get workman's comp for damaging my retinas on the show tonight?
No, because you're not an actual employee.
Oh, foiled by administration again.
You're a non-paid contractor.
Exactly.
The story of my life.
Yeah, well, they also say that it's coming in August, but, you know, of course, Bloomberg reports that they have heard rumors from people. They say two people familiar with the plans. There will be an iPhone. They're calling it the iPhone 5. They're not calling it iPhone 4S, but it's going to be, you know, essentially the same case, but with an A5 processor, 8-megapixel camera. And I believe that's, you know, those are the significant points that they cite.
I want to ask about the radical new case design, by the way. I'm just curious about something. So how much room is really left to make a radical new case design?
Well, if you're asking someone who's taken apart an iPhone 4, I'm going to say zero.
Like, I know components keep getting smaller and smaller. I guess the radical part would be that it's thinner on one edge instead of the other side.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't need to be any
thinner. Different material on the back. Is that radical?
Am I the only one who thinks it's too thin at this point?
I think
it's as thin as it should be. I think that, you know, it's hard to type kind of on the iPhone 4 with your thumbs. And I like having a case on it because it makes it a little thicker.
You know, I've been using my iPhone Commando for a while now because I got tired of the cases. I do find it a little hard to type on, but I don't think that's because of the thickness or thinness of the iPhone. I think it's because with each version of iOS that Apple comes out with, they're making the predictive typing exponentially worse.
Yeah, I think we talked about this before. They have, you know, fuautocorrect.com, and that's why Apple is doing that. It's their little side project.
Yeah, it's how they fund their development projects with ad space.
Yeah.
The one argument that I do buy that, you know, people have told me is that they like the iPhone 3GS better because it fits better in your hand with the curved, like, ever since they went to the kind of pure straight square edge form factor.
Yeah,
I would agree that it's not as comfortable to hold an iPhone 4 as it was to hold like the 3G or 3GS.
Yeah, for sure. I would totally be fine with them going back to the old case design. I mean, I'd be a little bit lit down, but ultimately it feels nicer to use that.
Well, okay, so look at the first gen iPad and then look at the second gen iPad. And maybe that gives us a hint at what Apple has in store for the next generation of iPhone.
Yeah, I think that's, I believe the sort of tapered edge or rounded edge sort of thing, and probably some sort of going back to a metal back rather than a glass back. I think that was kind of a failed experiment. But I just don't know. What I was taking issue with was the word radical.
Sure.
Again, going back to the media sensationalizing, it's a radical change design or design change.
Maybe it was more of like an Airhead style radical. It's like radical.
I think just evolutionary design change just doesn't sound as good.
Yeah.
In your title.
Yeah.
So.
My eyes hurt.
Okay, well, let's move on to something that's real. So HP has announced HP has announced 8 more AirPlay printers. AirPrint. See, I'm not getting this.
Do you want me to try it for you?
Go for
HP it. Has announced 8 new AirPrint compatible printers.
Thank
there
you.
There you go. Now you can carry on.
Did anybody buy the first 4?
Well, see, this is
no,
why.
No, I bought Printopia instead, so it's exactly. Too late for everyone else.
This is why I'm bringing it up. So firstly, after seeing this, I was really curious about how these printers actually connect to wireless networks. So as far as I can tell, based on reading manuals, because they don't indicate to you at all on the product page, they just kind of say, oh, wireless with AirPlay. And yeah, that could be because you plugged it in with an Ethernet cable to your router, and then, you know, the wireless part is your phone. But as far as I can tell, at least some of these printers have an interface for entering WPA passcodes and setting up an actual network. So you don't have to be connected wired with your printer on these.
Is it not just Bonjour through your network?
Well, if you have, it has to know which network to get onto.
Right, yeah, so exactly what you're saying. Yeah, you WPA them to your wireless network, and then your iPhone, iPad obviously knows your wireless network. So are you saying it because it's not direct to the printer?
I was just curious how it was connected to the network.
Well, my assumption is that the way you get these devices connected to the network will be exactly the way it's been for every other printer, which is total crap, meaning you have a horrendous interface that you have to use from a total crap app that the developer or the printer maker gives you. And so where am I going with this? Okay, here's where I'm going. Until these companies release printers that can be easily added to networks for AirPrint printing without requiring a separate computer, Apple's dream of the iPad and iPhone as standalone computers can't be complete.
Well,
what I want to know is how much freaking money is HP giving Apple to keep the integrated AirPrint technology, which was supposed to be in our Macs, out of the Macs, so they can try and sell these printers that nobody wants.
It's pretty stupid. I mean, if you're a developer and you have the developer tools, run a Spotlight search, because there's a thing called Printer Simulator. If you open that up, it's real cool. Your Mac becomes, it advertises itself as a printer, and you can print anything you want from your iPhone or your iPad right to your computer, you know, as a file.
But this was a promised keynote feature, wasn't it?
That it was, and it
yes, it was.
It worked just fine.
OS X was going to be able to share printers, and you'd be able to print to those shared printers from your iOS devices.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like there's a.
The rumors right now are saying it's not even in Lion yet.
I mean, that's what I would assume, is that, you know, if it was a technical issue, based upon all of the improvements in Lion and iOS 5, there's no freaking way, there's no reason for them to not have that functionality in OS X.
That's why I'm saying HP has got to freaking be being just like shipping bags of money to Apple or something. I mean, what other explanation could there be?
The only other explanation I can come up with is that there's some patent licensing thing that Apple has not been able to sort out yet.
Oh,
but
yeah.
But if you put the technology on the printer end, then it works around the licensing issue.
Or maybe it's an HP license.
Yeah.
Or maybe,
it's an HP patent.
And if that's the case, then HP is probably being pretty shrewd business-wise by not allowing anyone else to get at that, specifically Apple.
Because they're the only ones with AirPlay or AirPrint, excuse me, AirPrint compatible printers at this point, right?
Yes. Yeah. All right, so then how does software like Printopia work around that? I don't know.
I think because it uses an open standard. That's the thing, is I think it's I have to look into it deeper because I haven't gotten, because I did the same thing as you, Jeff. I just bought Printopia and was done with it. I can print whatever I want to my printers.
Question: can you print? I have AirPrint set up with my Airport Express.
Yep.
With Printopia, can you use your Mac as a slingshot?
That's exactly what I do.
Okay, I'm gonna get Printopia.
Yeah, just buy it. You'll be happy.
Okay. It freaking rocks. And and it has the added bonus that you can print directly to a PDF. You can print directly to Dropbox.
Yeah, you can print to a file that lands on your desktop on your Mac.
I can't download this application soon enough.
Yeah, you will wonder how you lived without it. I mean, because you can literally print a PDF that goes right into your Dropbox and then open that with another app. So how many times have you been like in Safari and you're like, oh, I want this as a PDF to put into Goodreader or whatever to come back and read later.
I would say never, that. But...
well, I mean, or... Yeah. Maybe that scenario.
I'm sorry, I'm giving you a hard time.
I've used that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I want this thing over there.
Yeah.
I had some app that did like... Oh, I remember. I had some app that did Google Stats, and I wanted to email that to a client. And I was like, oh, how am I going to do this? Well, Printopia, the Goodreader, PDF, and then I just attached the PDF from mail.
There
Pretty
you go.
Pretty much rocked. And I did it all from my iOS device. More on that point, though, more to that point, when the frick is Apple going to add to iOS the ability just to print to PDF?
I mean, it should be.
And drop that into, like, iBooks. Or whatever. iBooks would be the place where they'd have to throw it.
Sure, which would be totally fine.
Mm-hmm. That would be awesome.
Oh, they have that reading list thing. I'm just going through a bunch of things in here. There's, print. Yeah, doesn't look like there's any print to PDF. I mean, that should be fairly trivial for them to add, considering it's just a standard OS X framework.
Well, and that gets them possibly away from the whole HP thing. Maybe there'll be a print PDF to iCloud.
That'd be cool.
That would be okay. It would be a start.
Yeah.
All right. So Apple has released, I believe, 100 and some videos from WWDC 2011 for any registered developers. I believe even free developers. So if you're like a web developer and you have a developer account with Apple for free, you can access those videos.
Yeah, I noticed. I was worried because I'm in the iOS developer program, but not the Mac one.
Yeah.
And I can get access to all of the videos. I was worried that it was going to be restricted just to iOS or something like that. But yeah, you have full access to everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and these videos, these are great. Because it's all the stuff from WWDC. Is it...
It's like 300 hours. That's the only problem. It's like, see, what am I going to do for the next 2 weeks? I'm watching videos. We'll see you later.
Yeah. But it's good stuff. It's really good stuff. Here's one of the great things that I learned about from this. I watched one of the web videos.
Oh, see, you're not under the NDA, right?
I'm not.
Okay.
And
so Michael will tell everybody what's in the videos.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to tell everybody. So just email me which video you want me to watch, and I'll just type out a transcript for you. But
awesome.
So in iOS 5, they finally fixed the fixed positioning issue. And for those who don't know, probably don't care, but if you're a web developer, you're you know, you're probably accustomed to being able to stick a page element at the top or the bottom of a page, you know, something that will stay there even if you scroll up or down.
Oh, you just lit up a light for me. I have a website that actually has this issue, and now I understand why. And it's only on the iPad or iPhone.
Yeah,
go.
Instead of offering a new, like, you know, special WebKit key or something, some nonsense like that, they've just simply fixed it. It works now. So when you go to a website with that on it, it'll work in iOS 5. So that's just magic.
And I have to check this website now.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Where were we? Oh, no problem.
The videos.
We'll wait for you, Adam. It's okay.
Yeah, the videos. So, check that stuff out. It's great. It's hard to find them. I can never figure out, you know, every time I want to check out those videos, I can never figure out which, you know, set of three links I have to click. Do you know?
I saved the email.
Okay, yeah. I mean, that's what I did, too. I bookmarked it. It's somewhere in there.
Yeah, saved the email. They sent it to everybody an email. Here's the videos, and you can link to it. It goes into iTunes. It's like a secret iTunes link.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to watch it in iTunes. That's the, you know,
No. You can subscribe and download them and... It's kind of like a podcast, but not really.
So that means they probably use their iTunes U backend.
Yeah,
I think that's what they are using. Yeah,
they're using that. But
it's actually kind of cool.
You can also watch the videos in the browser if you want. So,
and you can AirPlay them.
Yes, I was doing that the other day. All right, so moving on. Apple is now offering a 7-day refund policy. On App Store apps in Taiwan exclusively due to some legislation that they passed, right?
Now, has anyone actually been able to really confirm this? Because the original report that I saw had so many errors in it that I couldn't tell if they had actually done, or excuse me, if it was actually Apple that was doing this, or if it was Google that was doing something, or if it was just something had been lost in the translation and it was something completely different that they were talking about. I mean, because in the original report that I found, they were talking about Apple's 15-minute refund policy, which is actually a Google thing, and... I mean, there were several other errors.
I don't know. I'm just fascinated by the fixed positioning thing being fixed. Sorry.
I told you it's a great thing, but only certain people really care at all.
just in awe. It works. This site that's been broken for forever works, and I could never figure out why it was broken.
I bet you're just like almost crying. It's so great, isn't it?
I am.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but so back
and what
to the
Jeff
seven
said.
7-day, yeah, whatever Jeff said. The 7-day refund policy. I guess it's a great idea. It's been one of the biggest issues with iPhone apps since the App Store came out.
I think
out.
Developers would disagree with you.
Yeah, I have a
horrible idea.
Yeah. I think it's a crap idea. A much better idea is to give us a system that works much like shareware does on computers today.
Yeah.
So instead of having to purchase an application to see if you want it, you can download the time-limited demo version and then pay to unlock it later.
See, I thought in-app purchase was supposed to fix all this.
And it didn't.
What the hell happened? Oh, Apple.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'm totally with Jeff. I mean, the App Store and apps and stuff have some great advantages, but they have some very big disadvantages. And unfortunately, in a lot of ways, most of those are bad for the developer. Bad for the consumer, too. But it's my understanding, like, if you can get refunds on stuff if you demand them hard enough, and when you do... It's my understanding, and anybody can correct me if I'm wrong, that the developer does not get, you know, the 30% back that Apple took.
From what I've heard, you are correct. So if someone requests a refund, it costs the developer 30%.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely gotten a refund on an application before. I think I mentioned it before. I went to re-download TomTom, and they have like 30 different versions, just like every other GPS developer out there. And I have the US and Canada version, but I thought, oh, okay, I'll just get this TomTom US and download. And oh, that's weird. It didn't ask me if, or it didn't tell me that I'm going to download this for free. I think I just purchased that. And I called them, or not, I didn't call them. I emailed them and explained the situation. They're like, okay, this is the only time. But, you know, it was pretty good. It was good to get $50 back.
Well, I mean, in this case, Apple's a lot like the credit card companies. You know, they assume no liability for that sort of thing. It's sort of all on the producer. I don't know if you guys know that too, but like if someone buys something and then disputes the charge, even if they've received it or whatever, and the credit card company reverses that, the onus is on the person who shipped it out, you know, the company that sent that, to try and somehow recover that loss. There's like no liability in between. So.
All right. So, moving on, the last bit, the exciting bit for me, Apple has released iOS 5 Beta 2 to developers, to, you know, people who have a developer account through the iOS developer program. And let's see here. There are a couple of really fun things in there. Wi-Fi syncing has been enabled, for one. In the previous beta, Wi-Fi syncing was not available. So now you can do Wi-Fi sync, and it's kind of neat. I've played around with it a little bit with my iPad. I only loaded it on here today.
How does it work?
Well, it works in the sidebar in iTunes. I don't have my iPad connected, but the iPad does show up, and I can move stuff around, applications, info, basically everything. Make tweaks, hit sync, and then it syncs. It doesn't work usually when I get photos and stuff off of my iOS devices. I use image capture. It does not provide a connection for image capture, which isn't that surprising, but I synced a playlist of some songs using the Wi-Fi sync, and it worked pretty well.
Do you have to configure that on the device?
What you do is you plug in your device as you normally would, and under the summary tab, you want to check the sync over Wi-Fi connection checkbox. And then once you do that, you then unplug. So you have to have it plugged in the first time in order to set it up. But then after that, it, I wonder what happens.
See, like, how I'm letting you break the NDA?
Yeah, it's fine. I didn't sign anything. I wonder what would happen if you uncheck the box while it's unplugged and you hit sync. It'll probably just disappear forever and ever. But yeah, it's pretty cool. And what else do we have in here? According to Mac Rumors, they say that over-the-air updates have been included, but they're not currently available, obviously. You can now back up to iCloud or the computer when setting up the device. I think they've tweaked notifications a little bit. So Notification Center. I haven't used this on my iPhone because I think it's insane to put a beta operating system on your phone. But according to various reports, they say that you can get rid of the Stocks widget, and actually the Stocks widget is off by default in Notification Center. So on your iPad, you don't get those the weather and Stocks in notification.
Can I ask a strange thing? Why is the iPad persona non grata for Stocks and weather?
I don't know.
Does anybody have a good rational explanation for that?
And it doesn't have the calculator either.
Yeah.
And the calculator, yeah. Why?
It doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't,
especially now that it's integrated. Before it wasn't a huge issue, but now that they've integrated that into Notification Center, at least those two features, it seems like they'd want to put those on the iPad now. Just if for nothing else other than consistency of the operating system.
And it's kind of funny considering how Apple was so adamant about consistency across devices,
right,
with the you rotate switch.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Headache, and yet they're okay with having some apps on one device but not on another.
Yeah, I think it's gonna. I think it is gonna get to that point where it's confusing people who have iPhones and or iPod touches and iPads. It's like suddenly that stuff isn't there. And maybe, I mean, is it a data thing? Is it because those have to go out and get data and, you know, some Wi-Fi? It was, that didn't even.
But they're on the iPod Touch.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, they are. You got stocks and weather on the iPod Touch?
That I didn't know.
Well, you at least have calculator on there, and my iPod Touch isn't on my desk, so I can't double check.
Okay.
For the others, but you definitely have the calculator app on
the
iPod
Touch. Well,
if
you have calculator, then you have the other two, I'm sure.
Yeah. What else do we have here? Another web developer related thing. They have native scrolling now in, I believe, lists. So I think that's another one of those things that they've definitely added. Like they've confirmed with developers at WWDC that there will be, I think, one finger scrolling for frames and stuff like that, or for overflow, I believe. So whenever you have a div with a bunch of stuff in overflow, you can do one finger scrolling as well as have the native bounciness that lists usually have in iOS. So that's very cool.
Just so you know, that native bounciness thing kind of made me giggle a little.
Yeah, it's not surprising. What else? Oh, upcoming calendar events is also included in the Notification Center, which is very nice. So if I pull my Notification Center down here, I see that, we're doing a podcast. So now I know what's going on. And finally, I would have to say that this is very fast. Beta 2 is very fast. I have not encountered any bugs yet. Beta 1 was very buggy. Again, I'm using it on an iPad. There were a lot of issues with the Photos application previously.
iPad 1 or iPad 2?
iPad 2. And yeah, it's real snappy, especially the, if you have iOS 4.3, maybe 4.3.3, I'm not sure which version started enabling this functionality, but the four-finger multitasking gesture stuff, swiping up to reveal the multitasking bar and pinching to get to the home screen, those have just, I mean, I don't use my home button anymore. But there is the other feature where you can swipe left or right to quickly switch between applications. And that in iOS 4 has just been slow. So if you switch between applications, it'll look like the app is live, but it won't be. So you have to wait. There was a significant delay, but now in beta 2, it's almost instantaneous. So that's very cool. I'm really happy about that. So once everybody else in non-developer land gets a hold of these gestures, you're going to see why I like it so much, because it's just way better than using a home button. And with that, I think we are done with the stories we want to cover. You guys want to talk about anything else or move on? Ready to go? We have a question from a listener, and I'll play that here.
Hey, guys. This is Nate from Slovenia. I have a communicator, and I have a question. If you have the same email address for FaceTime assigned to your Mac and also to your iPod Touch, and then if someone calls you to that email address, do both devices ring? Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
And I believe the answer is yes, right?
I believe the answer is yes.
Do we have any real...
Call me right now.
Okay, hang on. Yeah, someone vamp while I called Adam.
We'll test it.
Okay. What's your phone number? Should I read it out on the air?
No, use my email, right?
Oh, okay, yeah. Is that your... Okay, FaceTime.
Hold on, let me check and see if that address that you're probably thinking of is even set up for that.
No, I'm doing your standard one. I think it's your public one.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is I don't think that email address is set up for FaceTime. for obvious reasons.
All right, Adam, why don't you call me?
I love this live stuff.
Isn't it great?
Talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah. Hey, my eyes here. Don't hurt anymore because we haven't had to discuss stupid ideas for, what, like 15 minutes now.
Well, that's nice. So, Adam, are you calling me? Okay, it's calling me on my iPad and on my Mac. It's not calling me on my iPhone. So
maybe the iPhone takes longer to connect.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it did ring concurrently on your iPad and your Mac.
And on my Mac, yeah.
So there you go.
FaceTime is on. On my phone, I don't know why it didn't ring on my...
Is it registered with the same... Should be registered with the same addresses because that should be on the server, right? Like that's all right. Controlled on Apple's end.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll play with it more, but I guess the initial answer is yeah. It'll ring at least the devices that you have set up properly.
Or it's not quite working as... It should.
Sure. I'm guessing it has something to do with the fact that my phone is jailbroken. So.
Yeah, and Apple knows, and they're watching for you, Michael.
Oh, I brought my iPhone into the Genius Bar the other day. I should bring this up. I got my iPad 2 exchanged for the light bleeding issue.
So you did?
I did. I ended up bringing it in. I kept noticing it enough that I thought, all right, I'm going to make the drive to the Apple store and hopefully they'll give me a replacement. And so I told it to the genius and he knew exactly what I was talking about. And the deal is if they do this, and it seems like this is the policy that Apple has set up for the geniuses to do light leak related replacements. So If it's out of spec, if it's just crazy light leakage, then they'll just replace it for you, no problem. But in my case, he said it was within spec, but he definitely saw the light leakage and was willing to replace it for me. And he said, you can do that. You're totally allowed to get a replacement. I'm going to do it for you. However, if the one you get from us, the replacement, has... light leakage that is within our standards, then, we're not going to replace that for you. If it's crazy, of course they're going to replace it, but I only get one iffy replacement is how he explained it to me.
Wait, so when he brought the new iPad out, did he take you over into a dark room and...
No, he told me I'm not allowed to do...
iPad and...
He said, they're not going to do that. Yeah.
Sweet music.
And showed me some videos on the internet. No. no, he said...
Wait, that's a service?
And check your leakage?
Yeah. Just curious. So 12.
No, he didn't. He said that, if you can notice it without
this back room,
low light...
We'll check the leakage.
I'm about to give up on this whole podcast. I'm about to just throw in the towel.
Oh, you guys entertain me.
Yeah, that's why we're here. But yeah, he told me that if it is way out of spec, then sure, they'll replace it for me. But he made it a point to tell me that there's a note on my account that I've had this replaced due to, a genius's discretion replacement. And that I would not get another one if it wasn't, a crazy issue. So, I still have a warranty and everything, but, thankfully I lucked out and I got an iPad that has way less light leakage. It does have a little tiny bit, but it's a lot less. So I'm much happier that I got the replacement. But when I was there, I also, I asked him about my proximity sensor on my iPhone 4 because I have a black one and I, really wanted a white one. But and I hear that the white one has a better sensor in it. Have you guys heard that?
I have not heard that.
The sensor has been tweaked. The proximity sensor has been, at least the window has been changed and that it has better performance. I don't know. But anyway.
I've heard so many unsubstantiated rumors about changes in the white model, and I'm betting they're all crap.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I asked him anyway. I was like, hey, have you noticed, you know, that they're, you know, occasionally you'll hit the mute button on your iPhone 4, and I just kind of, you know, to possibly lead into a discussion about how much flexibility they have in swapping out, you know, versions of the iPhone 4, you know, with regard to color. And of course, he's like, oh, let me see that. And he starts messing with it. And of course, my phone's just jailbroken like crazy. And I was just asking him a random question. He's like, oh, yeah, your phone's real messed up. You jailbreak? I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, can't do anything for you. Sorry. Like, you can bring it in, you can unjailbreak it and bring it back in here. I'm not going to, you know, give you crap about that. But, you know, we generally don't look at it if it's jailbroken. So I thought it was pretty funny.
He just slid it back across the table.
Well, no, he plugged it into it. He basically, without me even, I just kind of was asking him a question and, you know, had my phone in my hand. He just kind of puts his hand out and, you know, because he is the genius, I just kind of handed it to him without even thinking. And he plugged it into another Mac and I'm like, oh no, what is it going to do? It's going to know and it's just going to destroy everything. But
it's not as bad as my what's this experience.
Yeah, you want to tell that story?
So what I hadn't realized is at one point I had jailbroken my phone, and I think it was to get, I don't remember what, it was to get, I'm sure though, the wireless, the internet tethering, right? I was playing around with the internet tethering back in the day. Huh?
I thought it was for emoji.
No, it was for the tethering.
Okay.
And, but, you know, I did it and I didn't use it all that often. And so I had restored my phone and it was back to like normal. And I was having some battery issues. And when you call up Apple, one of the recommended things is, well, you know, restore the phone again and then restore from backup. So I guess I don't know if I hadn't backed up since I had done the restore the first time or whatever. Somehow I did the restore and then I still was having battery issues. And so I went into the Genius Bar and had an appointment. And he's looking through the things. And he goes into the settings, into internet. And he goes, well, what is this? And internet tethering was there.
Yeah.
And I went, holy crap, I thought I removed that. And so, you can imagine the conversation that ensued. But apparently what had happened was, you know, it had backed up that hack. And when I restored it, it put it back on there. So I didn't even know it was there.
Yeah, this is back when enabling internet tethering did not require jailbreaking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It was using the profile hack or whatever it was.
Yeah. So. Ah, the good old days.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So you guys ready for iDevice picks?
Oh, sure.
Jeff, do you want to go first?
Sure.
All right.
My original pick idea, I'll put off for another week. After our conversation today about printing, I'm going to go with Printopia today.
That's a good one.
And since we've already gone through the whole discussion about why it's so awesome, I won't rehash that. I'll just say rewind, listen to that again. We'll wait for you. We'll be right here when you get back.
Yeah, it's a Pref Pain from Ecamm.
Right. And it's drop dead simple. You install it. And that's it. Unless you want to disable printing to certain devices. And then you can go into the pref pane and uncheck the printers you don't want to make available. And it's like $20. And it's just that simple. You buy it, you install it, and you're done. And as long as your Mac is running, then you can print from all your iOS devices without any problem at all.
Awesome. And it's $20. It's free to try. So,
yeah, they have a 10-day trial.
Yeah.
And it doesn't watermark your printouts or anything. It just works.
Yeah, it's by the great people at Ecamm. I mean, you can't go wrong with anything they have because they're great people.
Yes, they are.
All right. Adam.
I am still trying to come up with one, but I'm going to do it real quick here. So I am going to go with an app called Procreate. Have you heard of this? I'm like obsessed with drawing apps. And it's like I've tried like everything. Sketchbook, Live Sketch HD, Art Rage. And actually, I'll throw in a honorable mention for Art Rage, which Art Rage, the big thing about Art Rage, if you've ever used it on the Mac desktop, it is just an awesome application. Big thing I like about Art Rage is just media in terms of like simulating things like paint or pastels or that sort of thing. It is awesome, absolutely awesome for that. But the one dilemma that I had been having with most of these applications is finding a really good, easy way to do really light kind of pencil sketching. And I'd never been really happy personally with any of the other applications with how it did that. And then Procreate came out. And the big thing with Procreate is with its brushes and pencils and media and stuff like that, you can actually, and I haven't done this, I think you can actually upload or copy over to the application custom ones using alpha channel masks, basically. So you can kind of design your own textured pencils and stuff like that. And they have a bunch of presets and stuff built in. And it's got a really simple, really nice touch interface. So for changing your brush size and changing the opacity, there's just these two little really unobscure kind of sliders on the left-hand side. And you pull those down. And I found it to be the one that I can most easily kind of get the brush size really small and then the opacity really light very quickly to do kind of light pencil sketching with. And so I really like it for that. It has a bunch of other great features, but that's probably the number one reason I'm picking it. So I can't remember how much it is. I want to say it's
$5.
$4.99, I believe.
Awesome.
And it's just got a really nice UI. So if you're into drawing and sketching on your iPad, I'm kind of I probably more than any other app, that's what I've spent it on, is different drawing apps. And I don't even draw all that often on my iPad, to be honest, but I want to. And yeah. So I keep looking for the one that's going to be the one.
Well, this one looks fantastic.
Yeah.
So check it out. Procreate, one word. Like the other thing.
Not great. So here's another $5 I'm about to spend.
Yeah. All right. So my pick this week is the iPad Smart Cover. And I got to say, I held out on this thing for a while. I think, do you guys have one?
Yep. I've had it since day one.
Yeah.
I picked the, I think it was a Spec Pixel case a while ago because that's, they sent me one of those and I really enjoyed it. Especially because it covered the back. You know, that was my big issue with the Smart Cover, is it didn't do anything to cover what I thought was the biggest, scratch-prone surface on the iPad, which is the back, because I'm always moving my iPad around and I want some protection on the back. So I have a case on the back that works with the Smart Cover, and I'll talk about that maybe next week. But this week I do want to heartily recommend the iPad 2 Smart Cover because it just adds so much flexibility to the iPad. So the it covers the screen, obviously. It makes it so you don't have to really turn on and off your iPad, really, because it has that fancy on off. When you lift the cover, it turns it on. When you close it, it turns it off. You can roll it up, as you probably know. Get the little triangle, and you have a very, very comfortable angle at which to type. That's great. And then, if you want to watch a movie, I have to say that my one complaint about the Smart Cover is that the angle for the landscape, upright, like video viewing, there's not a whole lot of angle on it.
Yep. It's pretty vertical.
Yeah. It's pretty sturdy.
But stable.
It's very stable.
Compared to the first one where it's like it would just fall over.
Oh yeah. No, this is very sturdy.
It's horrible.
It's great. And I would say, I probably use the keyboard typing position a lot more for watching things. And I mean, to be honest, it's a great viewing angle because usually I have it up on a table and I'm watching something. And, to be honest, if I'm using my iPad to watch something, it's because I'm doing something else at the same time. So having it at that angle is perfect.
And how do you feel about the whole floppy flappiness? issue that a lot of people have.
Not sure what you mean.
So when you flip it around to the back and you're trying to, you know, hold it, you just have that kind of thing flapping around, and like it doesn't.
Oh,
a lot of people assumed that you, when you folded it backwards around to the back of the device, that, you know, it would, hey, it'd be great if the magnets would actually catch on the other side and actually hold it to the back of the iPad, but it doesn't. So if it, you're holding it in one hand, it, you know, it can just kind of flop around back there.
Well, it does hold it just a tiny bit. I wouldn't say very much at all. But what I do is I fold it in half.
Yep, that's exactly what I do as well.
And it's fine. And if I'm holding it, if I'm doing it like this for long enough, great thing about the smart cover, you just tear it off. Whenever you don't want it on there, you just yank it off there and boom, you're good.
I do that a lot too, because if I'm watching video in bed or whatever, I found that sometimes I'll shift and it'll just pop off anyway, and that gets really annoying too. That's my other annoying issue with long-term use of it, is every once in a while it'll come off when I don't intend it to come off.
Oh, really?
And that can be frustrating. Yeah. I've had that issue when sliding it into a bag, especially if my laptop's in there or something like that. Sometimes I'll slide it on top of the laptop, and sometimes that's enough of a kind of prying motion, I guess, to kind of pull it off.
Yeah.
Or pulling it out of my bag is the more often the case.
Gotcha.
It'll just get kind of stuck and then come off. It's like, oh.
You know, that's interesting to me, because I do not have a problem with my cover popping off.
Yeah, I haven't really had an issue with it either. What I do
maybe
is
maybe it's just me.
I have to say that also the claim that it cleans your screen.
Well, it does, just in sections.
I called fake on that. Someone can go back and listen to the podcast. I think I mentioned that on this show.
I definitely think you did.
That I had a hard time believing that it was going to do any kind of cleaning.
That is BS, 100%. And I have to say that I clean my screen almost every day. I have a little screen cleaner cloth right by my desk that I use to wipe off my iPad screen almost every day. And they always said, oh yeah, it's not going to clean the screen, but it'll wipe off the little bits that of oil that gets on there from regular use. It does nothing. And in fact, it probably makes the issue worse if you have a lot of oil on the screen, because you get these big lines from the sections in the iPad screen the smart cover.
Now that you brought this up, we got to do, this will be a bonus pick for everybody. I want to ask you guys, what's your current favorite cloth is for actually cleaning?
It's the cloth.
If you use one.
It's the cloth that I got with my glossy MacBook Pro.
So you use the Apple one, the black one?
Yeah, that thing's great. I think I need to wash it, though.
Yeah, you need to wash those every now and then. I really like the Radtech. What do they call theirs? It's, you know, Radtech makes those sheets that you can slide in between the keyboard and display on your MacBook.
Oh, yeah.
Pro.
Oh, yeah.
I use that on my Mac. That's one of my favorite things for my MacBook Pro. It's called the
Screensavers.
Screensaver, yeah, with a Z. And
yes.
The thing that goes on the outside is called a sleeve. Sleeves, yes. With a Z.
Yeah, every time really I buy a new MacBook Pro, I buy a new screensaver.
Yeah. I've used a bunch of the different ones from iClear. I actually have three different ones from iClear. I have their standard kind of soft, lint-free one that's almost like a felt material, if you know what I'm talking about. And then they also have this antimicrobial one that they came out with. But the one
the little gray one.
Yeah, the one that I really like the best, especially for the iPad, because it really can get the grease off the best, I think, is the one that looks almost like a terry cloth material.
From what
and
company?
That's my current favorite, because it has just enough of a little texture to it to actually pull stuff off. I with the other ones, it's like sometimes there's just a slight film that's left behind. So
yeah, how do you recommend washing these cloths? Just throw
probably
it
just throw in the wash in, machine
throw it in with the rest of the laundry and nothing special, like cold water, warm water.
I always just buy a new one.
I really like the Apple one. But yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's what I use. Oh, pro tip, you can also use the smart cover to attach your iPad to the fridge.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be doing that.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to recommend it, but I, you know, it's kind of
fun. If your iPad falls off the fridge,
yeah.
What's your mailing address?
No, we have communicators. It's not responsible
for address your class action lawsuit too
for iPad iPads falling off of fridges. But if you look at my Twitter stream, you can see. I think I posted a picture of Ed Kirk. You know, he was hanging out in my kitchen the other night. And you'll get the joke when you go see it. You can probably figure it out. But yeah, he was hanging on the fridge. And yeah, that's fun. So, oh, obviously, don't get your magnet stuff close to your MacBook because it'll. I mean, I would say
you
less
can use it to put your MacBook Pro to sleep.
Yeah, that's the issue. I think we were recording a podcast. We were recording an episode of this show, and I can't remember if I left that part in, but yeah, I got my iPad too close to the computer and it shut off. So be careful of that. And with that, you can check out our iPhone picks as well as the show notes at wehavecommunicators.com or whcpodcast.com. If you don't really like to type, I'm not sure how many less characters that is, but it's at least a few less. You can review us. And actually, Adam, wasn't there a... aren't they like newly looking at the iTunes reviews in the store right now?
Doing what?
Do you know anything about this?
No.
I heard on Jordan Jesse Go that they're... that occasionally they'll go through shows and it's kind of like sweeps week in iTunes.
I did not know that.
This could be something that
really?
That Jesse Thorne just made up to get more iTunes reviews. But hey, I'm going to say it's true. Sweeps week. And, you know, if you like the show, if you're listening to it right now, you enjoy what you're hearing, you know, leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us out. It helps spread the word, you know, because it bumps us up in the rankings and just makes the show more visible. And it offers, you know, an actual opinion to people who are checking out the show. So if you have a few minutes, just, you know, go in there, just say, show's great, love it, you know, something like that. Doesn't have to be a long review. Just, you know, the reviews count way more than just the rating. So if you like it, review the show on iTunes. Of course, you can send us feedback like Nate, or I'm not really exactly sure how to pronounce his name, but, you know, he'll email me and let me know that I did it wrong.
Totally mutilated it, yeah.
Yeah, feedback at wehavecommunicators.com. Awesome. Yeah. And thanks for that question, by the way, Nate, or however you say your name. We really appreciate it. Podcast Marketplace this month, of course, includes the Stitcher Radio application at stitcher.com/WHC. Use WHC as your promo code to be entered to win an iPad 2. Of course, you can advertise on the show by contacting Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, as well as twitter.com/jgamet. And you can find his wonderful drawings at his Zazzle store, which is zazzle.com/jgamet. You can find shirts, hats, mugs, and of course the We Have Communicators mug that comes in a variety of styles, including standard mug, big mug, beer stein, frosted beer mug, all that fun stuff. Can you get it on a shirt now?
Yeah, I think you can pick the design and then say put it on a shirt.
Didn't you say last week that you could put it on a thong?
Yeah. Yeah.
So
if you want us in your pants, well, you know what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you do get the thong one, send us a picture of just the thong, please. Not unless you know, unless you're a lady. We'll take that. if you're a guy wearing a thong, let's not.
Please send your pictures to Michael.
Send them to Jeff.
Yeah, let Michael vet the images for
oh,
us.
Oh, no. Yeah. All right, yeah, go for it. Sure, why not? It'll be fun.
Just know that we may post it to the website in the Flickr stream.
You will definitely put it on the Flickr stream, for sure. Adam Christensen can be found at the MacCast, MacCast.com. And of course, member.maccast.com is the member version of the MacCast show.
Yeah, we're doing, I did a bunch of interviews at Nerdtacular. and we're putting those out. I already mentioned that Mike Schramm from TUAW was there, and so I got an interview with him asking about WWDC, also Veronica Belmont and Tom Merritt. So those are member episodes going up right now.
Awesome.
If you want to check those out.
And of course, you can find him on Twitter at twitter.com/MattCast. And you know, you can find me on Twitter, twitter.com/MichaelJohnston. Or if you want to see some stuff that I review, you know, just random things, not just iPhone stuff, not just iPad stuff, just, you know, whatever I feel the need to have an opinion on, check it out, twitter.com/LilReviews, L-I-L reviews. It's, you know, Twitter-sized reviews of, you know, stuff. It's pretty cool. And is that it? Jeff, I think you were going to say something.
Oh, I was going to thank Adam for his pick, because I haven't done a lot of drawings lately because Art Studio, there were some changes to it, and my lines just feel too artificial in the app now. So I went ahead and bought Procreate, and I've been playing with it while we've been bantering here at the end. I think I may have found my new drawing app, so thank you very much.
Yeah. I mean, for people who are used to something like Sketchbook Pro or ArtRage or something like that, I mean, it's not, it's definitely more scaled down than that, but I mean, it'd be interesting to see what people do with the brushes that you can kind of create yourself. But that was the number one thing, is it seems to be the best at simulating beyond, you know, ArtRage, which has kind of pre-built stuff, but simulating different textures and lines and stuff like that, because you can actually put in those alpha channel sort of brushes. So they've done a nice job with it.
Yeah, I'm impressed after clean like interface. 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Cool. So. All righty, well, we will see you next time on We Have Communicators. Hey, guys, in addition to this week's episode, I will be traveling back to Florida to see the last space shuttle launch next week. So I will actually be in the car when the show is usually recorded on Tuesday. So I'm not sure we'll be able to have a new episode for you next week. We'll see what we can do. Depends on how much extra time I have between travel and the actual launch. But if it doesn't work out for next week, there will definitely be one for the week after. So if we don't hear from you, or if you don't hear from us, rather, have a good 4th of July, everybody in America.
So what, you're not going to just stop at some random rest area and use the public restroom to podcast?
Yeah, that sounds fun. I think I might actually do that.
All right, I gotta go
from a bathroom stall.
Yeah, just watch your stance.
Okay, yeah, we'll do that. See you next week.
An iPod.
A phone. I haven't seen it.
What? An iPod. You haven't seen Mean Girls?
No.
You need to see Mean Girls. You'll get like 50% more jokes on the internet if you see Mean Girls.
All right, fine. I'll watch the goddamn movie.
Right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. No. Yuck, yuck, no. Stylus. You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck, yuck.